for number six. And man, Brother Weaver, they gave you the good tour group this year. And don't tell that to the toe-headed guys you brought last time. But these ladies did a great job. Thank you, ladies, so much. And man, if that's on a CD, I want it. Is that on a CD, that song? I want to find it. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 6, if you would. And this evening, again, we won't be terribly long. I can't guarantee we'll be out too early, but we do have a lot of things to do, but the preeminency of preaching is important to us. This evening, I want to speak to you about a topic that has only really come into view in my life recently, and God has been working in my heart about this topic only in the recent few days. 2 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 6. Today I want to talk to you about, tonight I want to speak on the subject of finding joy in the ordinary. Finding joy in the ordinary. Sometimes we as Christians, I know for certain, I am guilty of this, but we tend to be only extremely grateful when something extraordinary happens. And oftentimes we forget to have, much less express, gratitude or excitement over ordinary things, over ordinary provision, ordinary substance, ordinary days. And oftentimes we begin, we fail to recognize the ordinary as the blessings that God has given to us on a normal basis. But so this evening, in our very brief time together, I want to encourage you to consider the normal blessings of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 6, if you'll stand with me, we'll read this together. You follow along, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to dive right in. We got a short runway, so we're going to take off quick, but you're used to that here. 2 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is," what's the last two words? "Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment," nothing extraordinary, nothing lavish, "having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness." Notice how normal these are. "Faith, love, patience, meekness." Let's pray. God, you are always good to us. Sometimes we only recognize that when you're especially good to us. But Father, I'll take the always good over the especially good. And Lord, you have been constantly our friend. You have always been there. You always hear our prayers. And Father, we are thankful that you are not just God when great things happen, but you are God when ordinary things happen. And that is part of your master plan. Help us, God, this evening maybe to see into a little bit of your will, see into a little bit of how you operate, and help us to have that godliness, that contentment, and God, all of that together equals great gain. Lord, I need your help. Help me to remove distractions from my mind. And God, bless me with your power. I do not deserve it. I'm the weakest of all vessels here, but you've chosen me to speak tonight, so I need your help. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated there. Would you agree with me, would you agree with the statement, rather, that ordinary is sometimes hard to get excited about? Do you agree with that? If you disagree with me, ask my wife. She has an ordinary husband, and sometimes that's hard to get excited about. Ordinary sometimes mean you're broke, right? So how many of you are ordinarily, you have less money than you want, right? You've been there. Ordinary sometimes means you're tired. An ordinary week for you probably is a tiring week for you. Ordinary might mean worn out, might mean stressed out, might mean spent out. Ordinary for us sometimes is hard to get excited about. But what I want to try to give you is a fresh perspective that every single Christian would do well to remember. And here's what I mean. If I were to ask for, and I do often, if I were to ask for blessings, say, hey, who's got a blessing to share? Most of us would not raise our hand unless something exceptional happened that week. Now, I'm thankful we have folks in our church who raise their hand. I think sometimes it irritates the average Christian. And they raise their hand and they say, I just want to thank God that I'm alive and that I'm breathing and that I got to get up this morning. And they kind of go on with a list of ordinary things. And sometimes if we're not careful, we think, okay, yeah, go ahead and just be quiet and stop sharing those testimonies. But the reality is that ordinary is really an extraordinary blessing.
Listen, a lot of us wouldn't raise our hand unless there was something unexpected or something really great. And but most of us in here, let me read this for you. Most of us in here, myself very much included, would fail to see the continual, when we ask for a blessing, most of us would fail to see the continual, the ordinary, and if we're not careful, the expected blessings of God as anything to be excited about. And you're probably, let's just take for a moment before we move on and kind of look at yourself and say, is this me? And I can almost guarantee you across the room tonight, it is you, because it is me and it is pretty much everyone I know well. We fail to see the ordinary, mundane day to day as anything other than ordinary, mundane, and day to day. When in reality, the ordinary is truly a blessing of God. And I think that if we don't look at it that way, we're violating what 2 Timothy 6:6, what we just read, tells us. So this evening, in just brief exercise, what I want to do is try to pull some things out of your life and set them in order, just kind of on a line, if you would, if you'll visualize it. Set some ordinary things that happen to you and I on a daily basis. Step back and give you a God's perspective of these ordinary things that are truly great blessings. Because, again, you're like me. And when things are really good or something out of the ordinary happens or something extraordinary happens, you get excited about it and you ought to. But so many times we fail to be excited about, oh man, tomorrow's Monday morning. I can't wait. How many of you excited about Monday morning tomorrow? Yeah, I'm not either. Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, I am excited about it. You pray for me and Brother Eddie. We're going to head over to Adelanto to our church planter and help hang some drywall. But let's move on. So tonight I want to set some things up for you. Number one, we should be filled with joy over the health that we have. Just want to pull that out of your life and set it up here. If I had a table, I'd set it on a table. Go to with me, if you would, to James chapter number 1 and verse number 17. Now, you're probably like me thinking, Pastor, but, you know, I've got some health problems, or maybe I'm not as healthy as I once was, or maybe I'm not as healthy as I want to be. Well, again, we're talking about ordinary. Ordinary. James chapter number 1 and verse number 17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Health is something that is so easy to overlook when everything is going well. Think about it with me. How many of you right now for the last, let's say, 2 weeks, you have not been sick? Raise your hand. My hand couldn't be up, but for the last couple of days, I have not been sick. Now, keep your hand down, but how many of you who have not been sick have at any point in the last 2 weeks taken time to genuinely thank God that you're not sick? That number is far fewer. Because health is one of those things that unless it's bad or unless it's going bad, we fail to really recognize ordinary as a blessing. So listen, we tend to beg God for healing when we're sick, and then honestly, Lord willing, you give Him glory when you get better. But what about when it's not gone or it's not going? What about when you wake up tomorrow morning and you're healthy enough to get out of bed and healthy enough to get in the car and drive to work and healthy enough to put 8 hours in? What about when it's just ordinary health? For the most part, people, it takes a health scare to get them to be grateful for their health, right? The doctor says, hey, I've noticed something on your test. You're going to need to come in. And then all of a sudden, we value our health. But when it's ordinary, we tend not to. And I think that that's a violation of Scripture. I think that we would all do well to stop and step back and say, hey, you know what? I'm not as young as I wish I were. I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I'm 28. I don't feel like I could run a marathon tomorrow. But you know what? If you wake up tomorrow morning and you have strength enough to get up, you have strength enough to get out of bed, here's what happened. God gave you enough strength to continue. If you wake up tomorrow feeling like you have for the last 3 weeks, great, guess what? It's ordinary, and that's a blessing, because you could wake up tomorrow and not have any of the health or strength, whatever limit it is. You may not have any of that. Listen, this is a very juvenile principle, and we always remind our children, but some of the adults in this room, myself included, would do well to remember this. My parents always used to say, someone always has it worse. Someone always has it worse. And you know what? In my ordinary strength, I've had an ear infection in both ears for the last 2 weeks or so, and I've got a head cold, and thank God for medicine and all that. But you know what? In my ordinary health, I have the option to stand up. Even being sick, even in the sickness that I have right now, I still can stand and I can still preach. I still have the ability to lift a Bible. There are people in our church who can't lift their Bible, and in my ordinary health, I can do that. I still have the privilege of walking, the stamina to preach, the ability to play with my children in ordinary health, even in bad health. I can still, by and large, do those things. And yet we so seldom stop and thank God for enough strength to do what He asks us to do. For the most part, people don't express gratitude until they lose it or are faced with the possibility of losing their health. So ordinary, number one, thank God for your health. Number two, we ought to take pleasure in His ordinary provision. In His ordinary provision. When was the last time that you and I stopped and realized how good we truly have it by simply realizing what we have? Now, I know, listen, if tomorrow I came home from work and somebody showed up my house and said, Pastor, we want to give you a brand new car, I would be over the top. I'd be so happy. If you're planning on doing that, please, that would be fine. But you know what? Tomorrow, I still have a car. I still have ordinary blessings. Matthew 6 tells us our daily bread. When's the last time you, again, not just at your dinner table, but realized, hey, you know what? I ate three meals today. I had it. Now, it wasn't the Cocoa Puff cereal I wanted, and I had to eat Raisin Bran, but bless God, it was still enough to eat. And I still, in an ordinary sense, had enough and to spare. Let me ask you, let me read for you first, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your every wish, all your every frivolous desire. He doesn't say that. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, do you have a car? Yeah, but Pastor, they didn't have the leather trim that I wanted, so I just got this, you know, jalopy. So you have a car. Is there enough money to feed your family this week? Every person in this room, no matter how broke you are, because you live in America statistically, you're in the top 1% of the richest people on the planet, just by virtue of living in America. So listen, our ordinary is really rather extraordinary. Will you lay your head on a pillow tonight? Well, Pastor, you know, I had to get the full mature grown goose feather. I couldn't get the baby goose feather. They didn't have it at the mall when I went. Yeah, but your ordinary is pretty extraordinary. God promised to meet our needs, not every frivolous want that we have. Sometimes we as Christians are so guilty of only being grateful when something above normal happens. And we miss the fact that our normal is always better than we deserve. I don't deserve for God to provide for me. I don't deserve God to keep my family healthy. I don't deserve the strength to stand up and preach. I don't deserve any of that. In fact, this week, my car, like I said, has been broken for a lot of days. And every time my flesh wanted to play the martyr, Brother Weaver, oh, my car is broken. My car is broken. I remembered, oh, my second car is broken. My second car is broken. I still have a way of getting around. Granted, I got to drive the mom van, but praise God, at least I got a mom van, you know? And so it's first world problems if you kind of realize that. And yet we're so often so ungrateful for the ordinary provision of our life, the daily bread that God gives us. Our ordinary provision is worth praising God for. Even with what we lack, no matter how meager His provision may be in our life, our ordinary is worth praising Him for. So number one, praise Him for your normal health, His ordinary provision. Notice thirdly, as we move along, we ought to be thankful for foreseen circumstances. For foreseen circumstances. Go to James chapter number 4, if you would. For foreseen circumstances. Every one of you that has any ability to plan whatsoever has a plan for this week. I plan to drive over there, and I plan to, the concrete's going to go in on, the guy's going to be here Tuesday, so I'm going to stop by on my way back, and then Thursday they're going to start pouring, and I've got a plan for my week. And you know what? If I make it through this week and just that happens, I am beyond blessed. And I'll show you why in a minute. James chapter 14, or James chapter 4, forgive me. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. This is talking about the brevity, the shortness, the fragility of life that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Listen, we tend to be discouraged when things go poorly or plans go awry, and that's fair. But when things do go well, we seldom recognize the God who granted us such pleasure. Here's what I mean. Stop for a moment and consider. Listen, if tomorrow goes as planned, you should be grateful. You say, yeah, but Pastor, tomorrow's Monday. Oh, man, I got to go to the office. I got to wake up early. I got meetings all day long. It's going to be a long day. But think with me for a moment. If tomorrow goes the way you plan it, no matter how mundane, no matter how difficult, if you get to work and get through your day tomorrow and it goes the way you planned it, you know what that means? No police officer called you in the middle of your day and said, we had to rush your daughter to the hospital. Things went as you thought they would. Nobody, if you make it through the whole day and nobody has called you and there hasn't been any accidents and nobody died and you got no funerals to plan and tomorrow goes just the mundane way you thought it would, we ought to stop and say, oh, praise God, what I thought would happen did happen. And yet we so seldom ever make it to that. We think, well, unless Monday comes and someone walks up and hands me a check for a vacation to Hawaii, I've got nothing to be grateful for. No, that's not true. You still have your health. You still have your family. Yeah, it was a long day, and there's a lot of meetings. I'm not taking away from that. Working is difficult sometimes. But Christian, tomorrow night, you ought to say, woo-hoo-hoo! Made it through the day, still married. That's how I do it. You know, I'm like, she didn't leave me. Thank God, it's not over. God protected our children. Tomorrow night, we should think that way. We still have a roof over our head. There's no funerals to plan. Today went exactly like I thought it would. Boring. I like boring. How many like boring? I'm kind of a boring person every now and then when I can kind of tone it down. But boring is good. It's nice. But if tomorrow goes and this week goes just the way you think it would, you ought to count that as a blessing. Because here's the reality. Let me read something for you. The reality is, as difficult and mundane and as expected as a week can be, it is a blessing that it went the way that it did, as opposed to how the devil would have your week go. So think with me if you would. If your week goes normal, that's not because the devil didn't want to destroy you. That's because God did not allow him to destroy you. So if you make it all the way through the week and your family isn't, you know, going to divorce court and your family, you know, your kids aren't sick and dying, if you make it all the way through the week, do you know why that is? The hand of God protected you from that lion that was seeking to destroy you. And if you make it all the way through, guess what that means? That's a blessing. God has protected you and given you provision and enough strength to make it through your ordinary week. So we ought to thank God and rejoice for ordinary health, ordinary provision, foreseen circumstances. Number four, and almost lastly, we ought to rejoice in the lightness of our afflictions. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. I felt it necessary to include this because everyone goes through difficult times. Everyone has hardship. But I want you to see that it's not as bad as we think. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 15, it says, for all things are for your sake, all including the good and the bad, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, we talk about in Sunday school the importance of context. Paul is writing that. And he's saying, our light affliction. I would never call what Paul went through light affliction. But he did, and so did God, because it's inspired. So if what Paul faced, night and the day in the deed, perils of my own countrymen, perils of robbers, if what Paul went through, God looks at in the light of eternity and says, hey, that's not too bad. Hey, you're doing okay. Then we need to have the same mindset with our difficulties in life. So let's talk about the burdens of this life. Sickness comes. It's a byproduct of the fall of man. Trials are a part of life, and pain is a constant friend to our fallen race. It's just part of it. But notice what Paul said. I'll read it for you in Philippians 4:11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abound and I know how to, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So listen, in our affliction, we ought to be thankful. That's really hard to even say, but it's way harder to live. It's way harder to look at the trials of our life and say, oh, thank you, God, you're doing something. Thank you, God, you're shaping me into the image of your Son. Thank you, God, that you didn't just, you care enough about me to change me and to grow me and to strengthen me. Listen, no matter how bad our afflictions are, we must remember to be content. And here's why. Pastor, how can I be content in the difficulty? How can I be content that my car broke down or that my kids are sick or that these trials are coming? Here's why. Number one, it's less than we deserve. No matter what you're facing, no matter what difficulty, no matter what byproduct of the fall of man you're enduring, it is a lot less painful than what we deserve. So when we come to our trials, realize, man, God, you sure could make it a lot worse for me. God, I sure do deserve a lot more than this. I sure do deserve a place in hell, but because you're gracious, I only have to suffer through this life, and only sometimes do I have to suffer. So be content because it's less than we deserve. Be content, number one, because God uses pain to change us. He uses that pain to mold us and to shape us and that pressure to grow us. Number three, your pain is always filtered through God's mercy. God looks at you and I've heard this said in grocery stores over here. I'm sure you've heard it said, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. God never says that. God said, I'll never give you more than I can handle. But oftentimes our trials are more than we can handle. And the reason for that is because we're meant to rely on Him. We're meant to get to God. We're meant to lean on Him. He is our foundation. And if we face this life alone, then yeah, we're a miserable man. But we don't have to face it alone. We get the constant companion of the Holy Spirit and of the mercy of God. Listen, life may not be how you would make it if given a choice. But in the ordinary, there is an abundance of praiseworthy moments. Even in ordinary pain, even in ordinary suffering, even in ordinary health, even in ordinary provision. I want you to notice lastly as we close, number five, we should thank God for that which we lack. For that which we lack. Go to Proverbs chapter number 30. And then if you would, you can go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 6. And Lord willing, we'll get back to that. We may or may not. 2 Timothy chapter number 6. You go to Proverbs chapter number 30. And we're going to end up in verse number 8. Head over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 6. In a moment, we'll get there. We should be thankful for that which we lack. Let me show you what I mean. Proverbs 30 verse number 8. Says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor say it. I want you to say that. Most of us would never pray that. We'd say, God, now don't give me poverty. But very few of us would say, now don't give me riches. Why would he say that? We'll follow. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. And say, who is the Lord, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So pause and think for me. If we were in control, we would mess up our lives so quick. Wouldn't you? I mean, if you're honest, I know I would. I know I'd mess up my marriage. I'd mess up my kids. Even with God, I'm still struggling not to mess those things up. But without Him, I'm sure a ship lost at sea. But the reality is, if I had everything that I wanted, there's a really good chance I wouldn't want God. Think about that. If you could rewind your life to before you got saved, and if you had everything that this life could offer, and you had every riches, and almost like Saul or Solomon, if you could do anything you wanted, there's a good chance you'd be like that rich man who can't make it through the camel that can't make it through the eye of the needle, because you're so full of pride and full of bread as Sodom and Gomorrah was. They had need of nothing, and if God were to give us everything we needed, we wouldn't pray. So listen, we ought to thank God that our car breaks down, because now we have a chance to talk to God. We ought to thank God. When I purchased my car, I may be an off-base illustration, but when I purchased my car, I thought it had a CD player. The CD player doesn't work. I'm thankful the CD player doesn't work. You know why? Because I have a 15 to 19 minute commute every day. I get to pray. I wish I prayed every time. Sometimes I'm speaking in tongues toward the driver next to me, but that's not always the case. But sometimes God puts things in our life that give us opportunities to go to Him. And part of that is when He takes things away. Part of that was when He takes our provision away, or our health away, or our security away, or our plans away. And the reality is, Christian, listen, we're literally going to end right here. We ought to thank God for the ordinary. We are an incredibly blessed people. Being a child of God affords us incredible blessings, incredible safety, incredible security. But we get so used to it that we fail to stop and look at our kids and say, you know what? We made it through another year and didn't have to bury any one of them. I know pastors who've had to do that. I thank God that so far He's not allowed that in my family. I thank God that so far our family hasn't fallen on any terribly difficult financial times. We've had some lacks, we've had some things of that nature, but those are all part of God's plan. And we ought to take a moment tonight before we finish this whole thing up and say, God, thank you for all the normal that you give me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for